morning, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, our Christian program that takes a dive into the believer's daily life, helps us to learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Garrett. Today I'm joined by Pastor Steve Andrelonis. Welcome, Pastor Steve.
Hello.
Today we're going to be talking about worship as we have been throughout the week. Today's specific topic is worship through prayer. So you've seen a couple episodes this week based on public worship, private worship, musical worship, leading worship, the theology related to worship, and even worshiping God through the Word of God. And this is more along those lines. This is more of a devotional type of worship when we talk about worship through prayer. So we're going to have Pastor Steve start us off with whatever thoughts he has in store for us from the throne of God. Go ahead, Pastor Steve.
All right.
Well, No pressure.
I really think when we talk about the nature of prayer and the nature of worship and how they go together, I think when we, you know, we tend to have categorized worship as more of a musical kind of element in our life, a musical kind of element in our church service. And, you know, but really, you know, worship involves like putting God in his proper place, which is like, you know, him being the source of all of our joy. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. And, you know, God knows us. God knows us deeply. He knows things about us that we don't even know about ourselves. And he understands the thoughts and intentions of every heart. The Psalms give us a very good, you know, description of how he is thinking about us and how he is recognizing what we're about to say even before we say it. So worship is really seeking the kingdom of God first. I've always thought of it that way.
Nice.
And it can express itself in a variety of ways. I think, you know, when we categorize worship as only like our singing moment, like this is our, you know, even on our you know, we have a guide for our services that we use, and it has their worship set.
Yes,
so
right.
That's, you know, that's usually related to the music that happens at the beginning. But I think you know, true singing, true, like if music that reveals the nature of God really leads us into a conversation with God and into a life of, you know, like prayer. Now, I have to be honest. Am I a prayer warrior? That's a good question. I mean, define warrior. That's the kind of thing. Like, I mean, there's different categories. There's enlisted men, and then there's sergeants and all those kind of things.
There's also the reserves.
There's the reserves. Where do I fit in? That kind of thing. You know,
there's those people who stay back with the stuff. They don't go into the battle.
All of that. All of that. Am I a prayer warrior? I don't think I'd classify myself, but do I practice prayer? I do. I do practice prayer, and you know, one of the great books on worship is this little book that maybe some of you have read it. I think it's available online for free. It's been around since the 1400s, but it's by a monk, a French monk named Brother Lawrence. He took this name, Brother Lawrence, and it's called The Practice of the Presence of God, and it's very practical. There's some letters there that he's writing to people. And then he talks about spiritual maxims, and he's talking about, like, even as I'm flipping my omelet in the kitchen, I just glorify God. Now, you know, he just said you can call your attention to God, devote yourself to calling your attention to God. Now, I think worship, in our ministry of Greater Grace, we were taught at a certain point that the highest form of worship is concentrating on the Word and teaching about the Word of God. So like, if you are concentrating in a church service, then you're worshiping. And I'd say, like, you know, prayer is a way of, like, you know, there's a, you know, we know that there's some ways of doing it. Adoration is a part of prayer. Thanksgiving is a part of prayer. Confession is a part of prayer. Asking for stuff is a part of prayer. And then putting yourself in others' places, which is intercession is a part of prayer. And, you know, Jesus gave us a simple form.
Yeah.
Lord, teach us how to pray. The Peter, James, and John and all those guys, Lord, you know, when we were with John the Baptist, he gave us like sort of a form of prayer.
Yeah.
Can you? And then Jesus gave, of course, the prayer that we call the Our Father. So, you know, how does that begin? You're in heaven. The Father's in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, his name is holy. You know, these things, he's working out his purposes on earth as it is in heaven, all of these things. And then we get to the place of give us our bread, forgive us, help us to forgive. All of those things are like, you know, when we enter into that kind of connection with God, however weak it may be, it's worship. It's like it's putting God at the center of things.
Yes.
So if you are talking to God, responding to him, answering him as he's speaking to you, either from your pulpit or from your Bible reading or from any way that he's like sort of you're allowing him to communicate to you, then prayer is like the talk back, the answer, the complaint, pouring those kinds of things out to him. Yeah.
Sure.
That's what I think. What do you
think?
I
love it. Okay. I love it. It's a very broad topic because there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of different directions you can come at to say, hey, this is worship. Like that phrase that you guys have been taught, the highest form of worship is concentrating. I would say that's true in a corporate setting.
In corporate setting.
But we're talking more in a private setting here. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and prayer can be done corporately. I'm not saying that at all.
It's awesome.
But worship through prayer. What I love most about, you mentioned the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaching his disciples. And you've already said it a million times. I'm just going to like say it again a different way. It starts with Our Father.
Yeah.
Like that's super important when we're talking about worship. Because worship on a regular basis happens in our lives, usually in our own direction.
Yeah.
Usually in the direction of other people. But very rarely, like, do we ascribe worship to its correct
place. Yeah.
Which is God.
Yeah.
Like, is it Isaiah 43:7 says something along the lines of, like, we have all been created for his glory. His glory.
Yeah.
Like, okay, worship starts with him. Yeah. Our Father, prayer starts with him.
Yeah.
Everything starts with God. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and the last. And then it says about Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, you know, by him all things consist. He is before all things. Like, worship always starts there. And whenever we are locked in on who God is, I think the best, okay, here's the best way I can say it. Mm-hmm. And it's not me, it's the Bible. I hope. So First Corinthians chapter 6. It's right in the middle of like a really important teaching by Paul, but I just want to focus on this one phrase, 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Like that is worship. Whenever you are connecting that thing which God has made in you to him,
yeah,
that's worship. And prayer is like, it can be motionless. It can be full of song. It can be full of speaking. It can be completely quiet. It can be like just utter silence.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just about like your thoughts are on God.
Mm.
And if it starts there, then it can take off in a really, in a really great way. But how often, and none of this is wrong, but how often does it start with, oh, you know, this is happening and I need this and that's going on. And all of that can take place in prayer.
Yeah.
But if it takes priority over who God is and what he's doing for us, and even go back again, who God is, and you stop there, like you're worshiping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering who he is.
Yes.
Yeah. Seeing him, you know, it says, Hebrews, you know, the great verse in Hebrews, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Now, the secret there is come boldly, but then also throne.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this idea of God, Christ at the throne of God, John making the point that we have an advocate with our Father, you know, the demonstrative kind of, you know, thing that we see in Acts chapter 7 as Stephen is slipping away, him saying, I see the Son of Man at the right hand of God standing. So this is like when we, I think you're right, we're trying to say this like worship and prayer are connected in the fact that we recognize who is at the throne and that he is, you know, he is at the throne, like our Father,
like currently, who is in heaven. Right now.
He is in heaven right now.
The earth is his footstool.
That's right. His name is holy right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you pray, get this mindset that you're not just addressing, you know, like you're not just addressing like one of the old pagan gods or anything like that. Yeah. You're not trying to appease him.
Right.
You know, there's the fact that Jesus uses the word Father is saying that there is there's something indispensable and unerasable about the relationship that God has to human beings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some say, you know, well, you're not really a child of God until you become born again, in one sense. But if Genesis 1 is to be Genesis 1, Genesis 2, if the fact of the matter is that God formed people from the dust and breathed into them, then he is the source of all life in every human being. Mm-hmm. And he created us with a capacity to choose him and refuse him.
Yeah.
And this is the pattern of worship. When you choose to see him who he is in all of his perfection, then you've entered into a process of worship. And I think the conversation that goes on between you, we could define as prayer.
Yeah.
You know, we could define, but you know, some people, well, you know, it's a high conversation. Okay. Yeah. So we're struggling with semantics here, with words.
Sure.
We're struggling to define something that's powerful, holy, real, eternal, and invisible.
Yes.
It's like, it's invisible except for that, you know, why is Stephen getting stoned? It's like, well, he's actually telling us where Jesus is as he's slipping out of life.
Yeah.
And then he's forgiving his killers. It's like all of these elements there. There's a great theological thing that's happening right there at the end of Stephen's life. Wow. And
it's amazing. Yeah.
He's worshiping the Lord as he's getting
as
killed.
He's
it's
being
like
stoned, martyred. Yeah. Oh, wow. Sorry for the pause. Hey, if you're following along,
no, it's all right.
Please feel
fine.
Free. Hey, we love it when you comment in. So on Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're following, maybe even Twitch. I don't know if we still use that. If we do, go ahead and pop in the chat. Let us know you're listening. Ask us a question about worship and prayer.
Yeah, we might have an answer.
We're happy to consider it. Dr. R.A. Torrey says this about his own transformation in his own prayer life. He says, It came in his life when he realized that not only to pray and return thanks, but to worship. When he incorporated worship into his prayer life, and this is how he defined worship. He defined it as asking nothing from God, seeking nothing from him, occupied with himself, with God, and satisfied with himself, with God.
Yeah.
Like that's worship.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other, we don't have to get into, the methods in which we can worship. It's all about like, again, going back to the Lord's Prayer. Okay. Father starts right there with God.
Yeah.
You are in heaven. You are in heaven.
Yeah.
Holy is your name.
Exactly.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. It's like when you say you are in heaven, you're inadvertently saying, hey, I'm just here on earth. I don't have the perspective that you do. You are in heaven. Holy is your name. We can't even fathom what that means, to be honest. Holy is your name. Like the angels, the saints, the 24 elders, like everyone is bowing down to Jesus Christ, to the Lamb in Revelation, to God on the throne. Actually, in Revelation 4 and 5, saying, holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
Like that's worship. And we just have this like tiny little glimpse of it through the word. Thank God for the word that we can experience it a little bit. But there's just so much to it that we'll never understand. So that's why I said, like, we're one spirit with God.
Yes.
Like, he is teaching us, like, to venerate him, to put him there and to know that he's there and have confidence. Like that's also Hebrews 4:16, having confidence that he's there and willing.
Yeah, that's the bold part.
Like knowing who we are, but more so knowing who he is and mm-hmm. what he's capable of.
Do you see yourself as accepted in the beloved? Do you see yourself as loved?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see yourself as loved and then, you know, be loved? Okay. Can you see yourself as loved? So this talks about where the direction of your being is like, do you have an understanding of how much you are loved by God? You know, do you understand that? And so, yeah, I'm loved by God like a father, like a real father, like a good father loves his children. Mm-hmm. So I am really loved by God. And can I see myself in that capacity? You know, it might take some, you know, not everyone has the same kind of maybe concentration ability. I mean, we're all a variety.
Different
so I would say we have different, you know, and I think that's like in the time of Henry VIII, when he had separated, created Henry's church, took the church out from under took the English church out from under the authority of Rome and the Roman system. There was a man who wrote, Thomas Cranmer, wrote the Common Book of Prayer. And why did they need to do this? Is, well, you know, you got to remember that people did not have the Bible in their own language. The Roman system of government was keeping people from having the scriptures in their own language. So they gave prayer forms that people could read. And like, maybe you are a person who needs to read a prayer.
Yeah,
and you can read the Psalms. You can go through the Psalms and read through the Psalms, and use God's words to form your prayers. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, if you have to say them out loud, say them out loud. People, that's like sort of like chanting. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
So what?
It's like, you know, vain repetitions don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Vain repetitions don't do anything.
Like you learn it, you say it over and over again, you have no idea what it means. You're just saying it for the sake of saying it. But when you're saying it, like
with the Spirit of God.
Yes. And in faith.
Yeah,
And believing him for it, not worrying about your own understanding and knowledge.
No, it's good.
Different.
I mean,
it's
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, there's a, I don't know if it's still available, but I have a little book called, With God in Solitary Confinement by Richard Wurmbrand.
Wow.
And, I think it's under another name. You can still find it, I think. But in there, he talks about this very thing about, you know, like about how he's wrestling. He's like being beaten daily. He's being starved. He's probably being poisoned too. By some of the things, and all he could do was say, "Our Father." That's all he could do.
Wow!
And he makes the point in one of these essays that he remembers. Like every night he would deliver a sermon, and that was his practice to keep himself healthy. And one night he delivered a sermon on the nature of worship. You know, all I can do to worship God is say the Our Father. And he's got to accept it. God has to accept it. I have no other capacity.
Yeah.
And it's not vain repetition. It's all I know how to say.
Yeah.
And so maybe you're feeling like, if I just read a prayer, that's sort of like a cop out. Not really.
No.
I mean, and it may be that you start reading through the Psalms and you're like sort of unattentive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can like read through the Psalms and then ask the Spirit to like energize you mm-hmm. in these things and, the Holy Spirit is faithful to do these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And you might end the prayer time like, you know, like, wow, I think that was a waste of time. I don't think it was a waste of time.
Right.
You spoke the word of God into your atmosphere.
Yeah.
Who knows what kind of things you kept out of your atmosphere because you spoke the word of God. Well, I didn't feel anything. Well, you know, your feelings are fickle.
Yes.
You know, your feelings are fickle. You know, I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we're not. Yeah. We're not talking about needing to have an experience.
Exactly.
We're not talking about that. Worship is simply, I've said it a million times. It's simply about knowing God's place in the universe, really.
Yeah, and
like
deciding,
in all of creation.
Deciding to see that with your mind.
And being under it, being under it. Satan can't worship God.
No.
He wants to be like the Most High God. there are people, the carnal Christian can't worship God in the moment of their carnality. It says in Romans chapter 8, it's like you're at enmity with who God is at that moment. Romans 8 verses like 5 and 6, you're at enmity. But like Dorothea is saying here, yeah, in our chat, when you see him, he's a very present help in time of need. When he hears you, he sees your heart. That, like, that's worship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she's quoting Psalm 19:14 at the end there. Let worship and prayer be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Like, that's worship. Okay. Forget all the circumstances around me. Forget how I'm feeling. Forget anything else that's going on. God, you are on the throne. You are in control. You have, before any word ever leaves my mouth, it says in Psalm 139, you know it all together already.
Mm.
Like, that's who he is. He's omniscient. He knows it all. He's got it all figured out. And if I go to him with that,
yeah,
that's worship.
Mm-hmm.
And I might leave not knowing if I accomplished anything.
Yeah.
But what are we on earth to accomplish?
Yeah.
We are on earth, again, Isaiah 43:7, to glorify him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go to him, we glorify him because he's our Father and right, he desires that relationship. And yeah, that's all he's looking for. And if you start thinking he's looking for like you to do this and to do that and do the other thing, he very well may be pushing you in that direction, but he doesn't want you to do it without him and without knowing how he feels about you, how he cares for you, all the different ways he provides for you.
Yeah.
And us walking in that life together with him.
Yeah. So let me take you somewhere here. Okay. So the other night, you know, in the Bible talk that I do in Dundalk on Tuesdays, we're going through the book of Luke. We got to the book of Luke chapter 18, and Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. He's starting to teach his followers a little bit more about how the days are going to be. He talks about troubles coming, you know. But in that chapter, you can see there's several ways of faith and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, he talks about the widow and the unjust judge.
Mm-hmm.
She's persistent,
yep,
so persistent that the judge caves,
mm-hmm,
and gives her the legal protection that she wants. So that's one kind of prayer there. Then we see the limitations and the emptiness of prayers said not in the spirit, not in worship. Like we have the parable Jesus said about the Pharisee and the publican.
Oh, yeah.
So
yep,
there's a, mm-hmm, so we have a Pharisee who's saying to God, this is who I am. It's amazing. I'm not like this guy over here. I'm not right, an adulterer. I'm not a swindler. I'm yeah, not even a tax collector like this guy. I tithe twice a week. I fast. Oh, you know who I am.
You're praying to yourself.
Yeah, you're worshiping yourself. Yes. You're not worshiping yeah, God. And then it says about Jesus teaching that, you know, the limitations of religious faith. He's of this empty religious faith. He's mm-hmm, saying, you know, the publican stood in the back of the room, their back row, beating his breast. He knew that he was deceitful at
couldn't
heart.
Couldn't even look up.
Yeah. God, couldn't be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yeah.
So where is he directing his prayer? You know, this man is talking about all of his accomplishments, very horizontal. This guy is like, can't even look up because he feels the weight of who he is. So mm-hmm, that's the other kind of prayer there.
Yeah.
And then childlike prayer. I mean, like the rest of the chapter, we have the rich young ruler says, I've done all these things. And Jesus says, go sell all that you have and come, you know, you'll have treasure in heaven. This is like yeah, where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had too much stuff. And, you know, the children come to him. And then at the very end, we have the blind man saying, son of David, have mercy on me, eye-opening prayer and faith. Mm-hmm. So all those things happen in that chapter. But at the center of that chapter, there's something that Jesus makes very clear. None of this really can be affected except by the cross and by the resurrection. Right in the middle of this chapter, Jesus takes his disciples aside. He said, you know what's coming? Trouble. Trouble's yep, coming, guys. Darkness. I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be beaten, spat upon, rejected, mocked, murdered. But then the third day, I'll rise again.
Yeah.
And so that's really like the center, like, you know, like you're saying, if we're focusing on the cross and the reality of the resurrection, the reality of the ascension, where Jesus is, we are worshiping the Lord. And then when we start having the talk with him, we are entering into the reality of prayer.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Here are some opposite ways that this goes. Like, here's like being the Pharisee in that parable in Luke 18. These are different phrases in our Bible that kind of like inform us of how funny we can be about what we worship or how we worship. Or Philippians 3, verse 19, it says, and speaking about a group of people, 3:19. Whose end is destruction. Okay, let me start in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, and whose God, what they worship, is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. So you have one group of people right there, and this, by the way, is all of us before we're saved. Even sometimes after we're saved, our God becomes our belly, whether it's our actual physical appetite or whether it's just us worshiping the things that we've done or who we are or how we act or how we did something and accomplished it. Another way it said is in 1 John 2:16, being filled with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then the biggest one to me is in James chapter 4, verse 3. And it says, like, you know, you ask for certain things to consume. You ask for certain things to consume, and that's when it's off. That's when it's not about who God is, what he is, like his character, his nature. It's all about what can you get out of it. It's just crazy how quickly we can go from this is who God is to this is what I want. And this is what I need. And that, again, I don't mean to say that as if like that's not a part of prayer. It very much is a part of prayer, and God is a rewarder to them who diligently seek him. And he tells us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. Like, that's not what I'm saying here, but what I'm saying is we can have this attitude about who God is, and it's not so much about him as provider as it is about what he's providing to us. And so that's just like kind of the opposite viewpoint. Like, that's just coming at it from, like, I don't know, a different angle. I don't know if that helped at all. I really don't. Like, you go back to 1 Corinthians 6.
Yeah.
And it, you know, talks about us being the temple of God. It says to worship him in our bodies and to worship him in our spirit.
Yeah.
And so, like, prayer is an actual physical attempt to worship God.
Yes.
In some way. And then in spirit, like, we're doing that all the time, whether we realize it or not. Colossians 3:17-23, whatever your hand finds to do, whatever you find to do, you do it heartily unto the Lord. That's worship.
Yeah.
But the object cannot be this way. Inward.
Can't be looking for the answers inside of ourselves.
Yeah.
We can't be, you know, there's, you know, God has placed a, you know, set eternity in our hearts because you know, he wants to lead us into the enlarged place, the wide place. The narrow way leads to an enlarged place. That's the kind of thing. We want to be single-eyed. Jesus said, if your eye be single, then your whole body will be full of light.
Yes.
So this is like, what are you looking at? It's the, you know, really like, you know, when you are distracted, it's not so... you might not descend into darkness, but you might descend into twilight. You know, it's not quite light and it's not quite darkness.
Yep.
It's like in between.
The twilight
and
eerie music starts to play.
That's it. Yeah. It's like a shade of gray.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We don't talk about that at all. Whoa.
Moving on.
But I mean, it's like, it's the grayness of life and there's no definition there.
Yeah.
You know, there's no definition there. Whereas if your eye is single, then your body will be full of light. And, what kind of patterns could we give? What kind of, I think we're talking about like, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about like something pretty powerful that seems like impossible. If your eye offend thee, pluck out your eye. And I think that's like devote your attention to the right way. If you have an eye that's wandering, if you have a lazy eye, you know, which is real physically, but if you have an eye that's like not like focused, then you need to like sort of close that eye and like really get their focus. And then also like what your hand finds to do, like you said, like, you know, you need to like, you know, put your hand to things that are profitable.
Yeah.
Like your hand may be, you know, your appetite may be taking you in some way. Your hand may be reaching for something that's not, that, you know, that's not profitable. That's not going to glorify God.
Yeah.
You're not looking at God and then you're not reaching for the right kind of thing. So, we're saying like have a focus on who God is. And then we're saying take up the scriptures. I think that's the practical element. Like get the scriptures or a devotional book. Get a devotional book or something. There are good ones. There's hundreds of devotional books. Like,
yeah,
you know,
oh my gosh.
Andrew Murray wrote these 31 you know, Andrew Murray wrote several books that are 31 chapters long. They're designed to be read over a month. Mm-hmm. One's called With Christ in the School of Prayer. An updated version is, I think it's called, a more modern version is called The Believer's School of Prayer.
Yeah.
But it's like it's 31 little lessons, and at the end there's a prayer. Like it's like, you know, let God help you with that. Or take a, there was a great book written by Scott Robinson, a pastor in our church. I think he's now in Korea. He's based in Korea. Was a pastor teacher at our Bible college years ago here. And he wrote a book, Prayer Army of Intercessors. But in there, he talked about making a list and using maps and those kind of practical elements to pray for other countries.
Yeah.
Using a list, you know, to pray for people. Well, you know, that seems like so,
cliche.
But
I mean,
but you know,
but it works.
Like, do I question you who don't have lists? Do you use the reminder function on your iPhone? Be honest now. Be honest now. Do you use the reminder function on your iPhone? Then you're making a list.
Yes.
You are making a list, and then he, you know, one of the most releasing chapters because I'm. You know, I play guitar. I sing a little bit. Like he says, take songs. Like, you're having trouble. Just start repeating words of songs that you've heard. And all week we've been talking about worship and music and everything like that. A real song, you know, a song like Amazing Grace can, you know, you can just like repeat those words and it's your prayer. Why can't that be a prayer? You know, well, I don't really think that's prayer. Well, God bless you.
Yeah.
That's good. Whatever works for you. We're talking.
What's a song in the night?
Yeah, maybe you don't need the help that we need.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, don't be, you know, don't go be contemptuous of us. We need, we need some help. We just open the Bible. We start reading the Psalms. Yeah.
Yes.
It's great. There's other prayers too. Like Nehemiah prays a prayer. Ezra prays a prayer.
Yeah.
David prays prayers. It's like, you know, look in the scripture. Paul prays prayer. Ephesians. There's a couple of prayers in Ephesians that Paul is praying. Anyway.
Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock
please
that has
the
horns
Lord.
And hooves.
Yeah.
This shall please, here's another one. Psalm 60, I love this one. Psalm 63, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. When you said this, it just like dawned on me and it like in a way it's never dawned on me before. I don't know why it's taken me this long to understand this or think about it this way, but you know, when your eyes are not on God, you start reaching for other things, like you said, right? But when your eyes are on God, what is the natural tendency to most humans whenever they're worshiping God? What is one natural tendency? It's to lift their hands towards him.
Yeah.
It's like your hands go in the direction, your desires go in the direction towards what your focus is on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That can happen in a song. Yeah. The Psalms talk about having a song in the night. Whenever Paul and Silas are in prison in Acts chapter 16,
right.
Do you know what they start doing?
Singing.
It says, it says praying and then praising God. It's like, that's one thing that happens. And you know what that does? It shakes the entire prison to shambles. And the guard wants to like take his own life because he knows that's it for him. He failed his post.
Yeah, he lost several prisoners. They're escaped into the night.
They're gone. But Paul comforts him and then leads him to the Lord.
And the whole family, right?
I think that's his whole household. Like prayer works. Worship works.
Yeah.
First Chronicles chapter 20. The kingdom is in trouble. I can't remember the king off the top of my head. The kingdom is in trouble. Their enemies are outside the gates or like in the hill, in the valley next to them, waiting for them to come out and fight them. They have no chance whatsoever.
Hmm.
But the king remembers what Solomon prayed whenever he dedicated the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8.
Yeah.
And God promised Solomon, or Solomon held God to his promise and said, if we ever turn to you in a time of trouble for our kingdom, and we know who you are, and mm-hmm. we know what you're capable of, you will come in and you will deliver us and you will save us from our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
This is what that king prays. And you know what the army does before they go out and they leave to fight the battle?
What's that?
They worship.
Yeah.
They just start a worship service. Mm-hmm. They just start singing to God, knowing who he is and what he's done. Mm-hmm. When they get out there, no one's there. They're all fallen dead. They all killed each other because God sent in the night confusion amongst them, and they started to fight each other.
And that the one where it took them 3 whole days
to get all the plunder out.
To get all the plunder out.
They got everything they needed, and then some. God does exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Whenever you come to him, knowing who he is, or believing who he is. Maybe we can't ever say we know really who God is, but we can believe in who he is.
Scripture. Like scripture is, I think we were saying, like, you know, how do we use, that was one of the questions. Let me get back here to where I was before. Does reading scripture help? That was a question that was asked to us. Discovering God's, we've been, I think, focusing on this, the fact of who God is, where he is, what he does, seeing him as Father, seeing Jesus as the advocate at the right hand of God, as before the throne of God, seeing that. But, there's no substitute for like really trying to inform yourself of the stories of what we see there. And who does God come to? I think Pastor Schaller made this point in the message last year. He was talking about, God came to Cain. It's like, it's really interesting to us that here's like the first story of murder in the Bible. And it says that God came and had an audience with Cain. He mm-hmm. initiated an audience with Cain, Hagar on the run from Sarah.
Oh yeah.
And maybe rightfully, because it seems like Sarah was mistreating her. This woman was just trying to escape,
mm-hmm.
But she's pregnant with the son, Ishmael, and God met her. It's like when we're thinking about that, well, I don't think like God really looks on the, David prays a couple places in the Psalms, look on the face of your anointed. You know, that's the interesting thing. Like our relationship based on, Christ came, took on a body, took on a human frame and looked people face to face, And David prays this prayer, look on the face of your anointed. You anointed me for my position. I need to have like this face-to-face kind of thing. These are things that the scripture informed you. There's no substitute for the power of the word of God. I don't have any prescription to give you. Yes, I've given you a couple of other like books that might help you, like Andrew Murray books, E.M. Bounds book, Learning About the Nature of Prayer, the Book of Common Prayer, going through those prayers, praying those prayers. They're kind of ancient. They might kind of seem kind of stodgy to you, kind of Shakespearean, but don't get hung up on that. Just like, you're giving yourself a space of time and you're giving yourself to some words that were written by a holy people led by the Spirit. Use them.
Yeah.
Use the Psalms.
Yeah.
Let that help you, inform your mind and give you some capacity for seeing the power and sovereignty of God. And, you can turn anything into a song. David did it, he sinned with Bathsheba, became one of the great country songs of all time. I cheated on my wife and God forgave me. And he sang it.
I never heard that one.
No, that's what he says there. God forgave me.
No, I know.
Against thee only have I sinned, God, I'm just saying it's to the chief musician. We're going to sing this. Why are we going to sing this? David, why do we got to? Because it needs to be known that I have sinned against God and he has renewed a right spirit in me. I'm supposed to tell this to the great congregation, not just I did it personally. Everyone needs to know that I, the king, failed
Mm-hmm. And now publicly, we're going to talk about my failure, sing about my failure, and the mercy of God that attends to my failure when I enter into that part of prayer. That's confession.
Yes. Well, that's huge. That's
it,
huge.
It is. Reset your life with confession. Hey,
please,
here I am.
Every day. Like, we need to. It just, because it's not about what we did. It's about what God is able to do through all of it. How do I develop an attitude of worship in my prayer time? Confess, adore God, give thanks for the things in your life, for the things that have been withheld from your life, maybe for the things that could have gone a whole different direction, but didn't. And like, give thanks. What are the other ones? Supplication and intercession. Make your prayer time about someone else the entire time.
Make your
prayer time about another person that you have a heart for, or that God puts in your mind as you're going to him in prayer. That's interceding.
Yeah. Do the Hebrew, use the alphabet.
Yeah.
Like, think of like people for every letter that you can pray for, or countries with every letter that you can pray for.
Yeah.
Just go through that. Like, it's like, just, you know, I mean, these are very practical elements, but the Hebrews, there's several Hebrew scriptures that are, you know, the whole book of Lamentations is based on the Hebrew alphabet.
Yeah.
22, 22, 22, 66, mm-hmm. and those kind of things. That's why is that happening? It's because Jeremiah is like outrageously grieved about the sin that he's watching, the mm-hmm. outrageous sin and the destruction of Jerusalem. How can I form my thoughts? He's just going through the alphabet. He's going through the alphabet. Like, so do that. That's like a hands-on thing, you know?
Yeah.
ABC, your prayers. Everyone used to say, ask, believe, claim. That's not what I'm talking about. But that's a good thing, I guess. But it is saying, like, you know, I'm going to pray for Aaron. I'm going to pray for Bill. I'm going to pray for Charlotte. I'm going to pray for Dolores.
Donald.
You know, go through all these things. I'm going to pray for Denver. I'm going to pray for Colorado, all of Colorado. I'm going to pray for Baltimore. I'm going to pray for Atlanta. There you go. You can do it. Like,
amen.
Alphabetize it. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun.
Exactly.
Everything that we have, every method we could even create, it's already been created.
Yeah.
It's already been used. We're recycling it mm-hmm. at this point. You know, the only like original thought in the universe on a daily basis is like a new human. Like, that's like the only new thought in life is another child being born. Like, that's because that's a fresh creation from God.
Okay. It takes a breath, right?
It just takes his inspiring breath, his spirit, really. Genesis 2:7. Right.
But I've heard this. I don't know who wrote it, you know, originally. But like, Yahweh is the sound of your breathing.
It's
breathe in and breathe out.
Yeah.
It's like, it's this, the name of God is on the breath of everyone. Like, every new human being breathes that once, you know, once the baby comes out and breathes that first breath, it's like, it's the sound of our breathing.
Yeah.
It's the name of God is on our lips.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings have you ordained strength.
Is that eight?
Psalm 8, verse 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like right there.
It's like the announcement to the devil. Like, guess what?
Yeah.
A new jar of clay is here talking about God.
Yes.
Doesn't know any better yet.
No. Nope.
Talking about, it hasn't
First
gotten
thing
your,
it does.
Can't even process your lies yet because his understanding's not formed.
Yeah. Mm. Wow.
Take that, devil.
Take that, devil.
Take it.
We got quite a few comments that rolled in. Elizabeth said a few things. Carol wrote in. Let's see. Okay, Elizabeth, we have such spirit-filled musicians, song leaders, and singers who work in unity, praising God as they receive from the Lord. Yes, yes, we do. Some of them are Pastor Steve's
children.
Offspring.
Yeah, we love them.
It's awesome. Carol says, awesome. The only way we can truly worship God is through the filling of God's Holy Spirit. When we are filled with him, we are worshiping Jesus Christ in his mind and praying to God in God consciousness. Yes and amen. Romans, again, chapter 8, says that if you be filled with the Spirit and... Oh, by the way, you are filled with the Spirit. That can be like your natural state as a born-again mm-hmm. Christian. You are filled with the Spirit. Then you can have his thoughts and his mind. And then worship and prayer go together, again by Elizabeth, as mercy and grace are not independent from each other. This is all about connecting us back to our Creator.
Yeah, answering God. That's
answering God, or just listening. Listening for him.
That's right. Yeah, you know? I think it was, Mother Teresa said, what do? I talk, and then I listen.
Yep.
It's like, I talk, and then I listen. And, you know, sometimes the concentration part is hard. I have a hard time listening. I have to say that.
Sure.
But, you know, but then I open my Bible, start reading through the scripture, and then I see, like, God can, you know, inform me and everything like that. So I hope we've helped you. I think we have. I think we...
I'm going to believe
we're pretty good at this.
I'm
going to
believe
we do.
I don't know. We have fun.
We have fun in here.
It goes
yeah.
back and forth. Yeah. I hope you guys follow along. I hope I'm not too quick. Everyone accuses me of being too quick sometimes. So please forgive me. Please forgive me.
Well, you can go back and listen again. Right,
hey,
right
and you
here,
can
right?
slow the speed on YouTube.
That's
so if
right.
you want to go back, you can
all
slow
these
it down.
Places where the oh, podcast
here we go.
Is.
Okay, yeah. here we go. We are on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And more. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today, Pastor yeah. Steve. Thank you for your words and
All
thoughts.
Right.
Appreciate it. You guys have a great
day
weekend. And a great weekend.
Yeah.
See ya.